Our lesson today is entitled Church Membership. So also keep in the back of your mind, where is God? Now, I'll bring that out a little later. I don't exactly know which direction I'm going to go on this thing, but is it working? No, I'm not. We're technologically handicapped, aren't we? Terry, this wasn't my fault. I just told Terry that none of this is my fault. I want to get on board that, you know, sure, just being for us.
Go ahead and let him know.
Yeah, go ahead and let him know. So when he gets his recording, he'll know it's not me.
Yes.
But I'm not naming names. Our lesson today comes from the third chapter of Matthew, and it concerns John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, it was said in the book of Luke that John would be great in the sight of the Lord. And Jesus even said that there was none greater than John. And John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. See, he began in the New Testament, but there was a period there of about 400 years where God's word had not been exclaimed by anyone. It had been kind of a silent period. And then along came John the Baptist, and I'm sure I'm not going to go over his whole life, but you know that he was a cousin to Jesus and born about 6 months earlier than what Jesus was. And it says, in those days came John the Baptist, because that had been prophesied in the Old Testament that there would be one that would be coming to prepare the way. And some people even thought those scriptures were referring to Elijah. And even in, even in Malachi, it even mentions the name Elijah. And so the people had thought, well, maybe Elijah was going to return. But in reality, John the Baptist was the one that was being referenced. And it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, and that can be found, this can be found in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Let me stop right there real quick and just point out that this clothing that he was wearing was kind of emblematic of what the prophets wore. Elijah is noted in the Old Testament as being dressed similar to this. And if you will study the Old Testament, you will find that the prophets must have been dressed in coarse clothes and leather girdles, kind of set them aside, kind of set them apart from the priesthood and what have you. Because you find in, I think it's in Leviticus, where God warns people not to dress like a prophet and be considered to be a prophet because they were false teachers. And so Leviticus, God warned them not to dress in this coarse clothes and go around looking like prophets. Now, we find that Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, we find Paul saying essentially the same thing, warning people against false teachers. And this has really nothing to do with clothes, but I just want to tell you that people come across in many ways and in many forms and proclaim that they have been sent by God. There's a lot of people in this world today that claim that they've been sent by God. Paul said there are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, we find that John has come along dressed as an Old Testament, dressed in the manner of an Old Testament prophet, fulfilling the prophecy that the Old Testament prophets had made about there being a forerunner of Christ. And John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. And he had a duty to do. He had to prepare the way. His duty was to go out and prepare a people, to get them ready for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. In other words, to prepare a body of people that would come together and form this earthly kingdom, which is the church. And that's what John the Baptist was doing. He was going through the land, preaching, and I believe he got his directions directly from God himself. He said he was preaching in the wilderness. Now, I've heard preachers say, well, they thought it was a wilderness where the gospel wasn't preached and where there was a dearth of information about God. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe that it was truly a wilderness. He was in the countryside. He wasn't in the city preaching. He was in the countryside talking to the common people. And you know, in every age, there has always been children of God. There's always been saved people from Adam down to whenever the end of time comes. There will always be a group of people who will be classified as God's children. Those who have been saved by his merciful grace. There always has been. And in John's time, in Jesus' time, I would have to venture to say that most of God's people were, I'm not going to say from the poor part of society, but they were mostly rural because the cities were made up of richer people. They were made up of Pharisees and Sadducees and people who from different sects who believed that that the temple was the center of religious information. And at this point in time, the temple and the priesthood had got so far away from God that they all even believed that just because they were descendants of Abraham, that they would go to heaven. They didn't have to have salvation. They didn't believe in salvation. They believed that if they were truly descendants of Abraham, they could trace back their lineage to Abraham, that was enough to get them into heaven. John the Baptist came preaching a different story or a different message, let's say. It wasn't a story, it was a message. He came preaching a different message. And that message was repentance. Now, I kind of got away from what I was going for, but we'll try it again. I said his meat was locust and wild honey. Now you'll find in Leviticus that it was okay. Locusts, beetles, and grasshoppers were considered clean insects and you could eat them. Now, I don't know how many people ate them, but if you want to go out and try them, I saw a can of grasshoppers up here a while back.
Still eat them?
Yep. But anyway, God says it's all right. So don't be afraid to eat beetles and grasshoppers and locusts. But nevertheless, let's getting a little away from the subject too. They went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan. Now there was a great multitude that came to hear John the Baptist. Now, remember, God's word had been quiet for about 400 years. Now here come a man dressed in the mode of an Old Testament prophet, preaching and talking about God. And I believe that people came out in multitudes and flocked around him to listen to what he had to say, because remember, there was a dearth of his word that hadn't been heard in 400 years. And here comes one that's preaching about God and looking like an Old Testament prophet. And people flocked from the countryside and from Jerusalem to hear what he had to say. And that included rich and poor, and including farmers and merchants from the city. They all came to listen to what John had said. Now remember, this is talking about church membership. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptizing, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, bring forth your works that are worthy of repentance. Now, remember, we just got through reading from 2 Corinthians where it was talking about ministers of Satan being transformed into light. They look like ministers of God. They look like truly God-called preachers. And remember, Paul warned against them. He said, be aware of them. Be wary of them. They're transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works. In other words, well, you know, the good fruit and the bad fruit that's spoken of in the scriptures, that talks about a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. I'm paraphrasing here. But that's talking about the saved and unsaved. Only a saved person can bring about works that God's going to look down and be approved and stamp his approval on. A sinner can't do that. A sinner can't work enough that God's going to approve what he's doing. It just is not happening. And these people that had come out to hear John the Baptist preach, and John the Baptist was baptizing the people who professed their sins, who had a tale to tell, who had a story to tell about something that's happened to them. Now he said, he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, bring forth works worthy for repentance. And he warned them, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. See, they came to him and they believed with all their heart that if they were just descendants of Abraham, they didn't have anything to worry about. God was on their side and they were going to heaven. John told them that that's not true. That if God wanted children of Abraham, he could just raise up these stones right here that are around him. He could just bring them to life and make them children of Abraham. That didn't mean anything. Not one thing did it mean. And that's what John the Baptist was telling them. And now also, well, let me stop. Let me go back again. Let me back up here. When these priests came to John the Baptist, evidently they wanted to be baptized. They were there at this big service that John the Baptist was having, and all these people were being baptized. And they came to John, evidently. I'm reading between the lines here, and said, you know, we want to be baptized. All right. Now remember, the title of our lesson is church membership. And remember, I said, keep it in the back of your mind. Where is God? Because I want you to know that your church membership should only be where God is. That's the only place you can be. You can't belong to a church where God isn't. Or you shouldn't belong to a church where God isn't. Because if God ain't there, the Spirit ain't there. And you're not going to be blessed there. You need to be at a place where God is. And your church membership needs to be where God is. Now, these Sadducees and Pharisees came up and said, we want to be baptized. One of the tenets of God's church is family right here. And I think we take this sometimes for granted. He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Let me read this so you'll understand. Bring me first works worthy of your repentance. What is one of the great tenets of our Baptist doctrine? And that is, before anybody can join church, before anybody, and I'm talking about everybody, before anybody can join church, they have to stand here and they have to tell you an experience. That's one of the landmarks of God's church. And always has been, from the time that John the Baptist was baptized until today. And I pray that we keep that in our church until time ends. Because it's one of the great teachings of a Baptist church. It's one of the great teachings of God's church. We don't profess to stand here and say, Sonny, if you want to join this church, you just need to fill out a card and come up here and join. That's all you need to do. If you'll just do that, you'll be a member of our church. Or, Cindy, if you've got your children, you need to get them baptized into this church as soon as possible as an infant so that they'll be a member of this church. Yeah, there's, where did Brett go? It's
good.
Lighthouse. They had a room like that room right there. And it was a prayer room. And if you wanted to join the church, they would invite you to come up and join the church. And if you wanted to join the church, they'd take you in a prayer room and they'd pray over you. And then they'd come out and they'd baptize you into the church. Now, if you take members in any such a way, you're going to thin out the herd, you might say. You're going to run people in that don't have no thing about God. And where is that going to get you? That's going to get you sometime or another that God's going to look down upon you and He's going to remove a candlestick because you're not one of His. What we stand on is that before you can join this church, you've got to prove that you've been saved. You've got to tell us. You've got to stand up here and tell us what God has done for you. You've got to prove to our satisfaction that you have done something, that you have received something on your own. Not nothing this church is going to do. You've got to have had an experience of your own, that you've got to fill this church before this church will ever consider baptizing you. Now, I think that's a wonderful practice right there. Well, the reason that John did this, he did the exact same thing. He didn't want them to dilute in the church. His job was to prepare the way. When Jesus came, he said, there's one coming that's greater than me. And he was talking about Jesus. And when Jesus came and organized his church, he took this material that John had prepared and he brought it in to the church. And that was the beginning. But what would it have been like if he brought in Pharisees and Sadducees and anybody else that wanted to join? If he had just stood there, come on and come all, let's all be baptized. It's okay when you're baptized, you'll be a part of the church. Where would God's church have been when Jesus came upon this earth? If it was just filled with sinners and saved alike and they all professed to be members of the church. It's It's ludicrous to think that God won't send us alone as a part of His church. It's just ridiculous. So we as Baptist people who claim to be a church of God, and I think we are. I think we are. It's ludicrous to think that we would invite anybody and everybody to come in here and join this church. We don't want anybody and everybody to come in here and join this church. Oh, I'd love to see, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see the church house filled with people. I'd love to see their standing room only. I'd love to, Jimmy, we'd go downstairs and haul out the chairs just as quickly as we can fill this place up. I'd love to see that. But I'd love to see it only with people who profess to know God. That's church membership. And it should be well guarded by those of us who are here and have a desire to see God's church go on. If the church don't go back to the practice that John the Baptist established in his ministry upon this earth, then you're not the Lord's church. Now, you know, there's some people that trace their church lineage back to certain years. Some of them trace it back to 33 A.D. when Jesus died on the cross. Others can trace it back to 250 A.D. And, you know, 1700s as some churches start. But I'm telling you right now, if you can't go back to John the Baptist, if you can't go back there, you're not God's church. That's just the way it is. If you can't go back to what John the Baptist established in his ministry here on this earth, you're not one of God's churches. And what he established was, he said he preached repentance. And I don't believe that was just a change of mind. I don't believe that Brother Barry will get up here today and say, I want everybody here that is going to dedicate their life to Christ to come forward and join this church. That's just not the way it's done. He preached, John the Baptist preached repentance. And then before he baptized them, he said, you tell me about it. Not that they had just been saved under John the Baptist's teachings. These people were, there was people that were saved down through all the ages. In the Old Testament, they just didn't have a church yet. They were just saved. But they were God's people. And now we're in a period of history, of time, when John is saying, there's coming a kingdom. There's going to be a kingdom. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but we'll probably run out of time. But even then, these Sadducees and Pharisees, they didn't understand what this kingdom was. There was people wanting another David to come along. They was wanting Jerusalem to be another world power like they were when David was king. They wanted the world to respect them, and they thought that this kingdom that was coming was going to be a worldly kingdom. And you know, there's people today still looking for that worldly kingdom to come. And there's people, as I taught last week or week before, whenever it was, there's people that will teach you that Jesus is still coming back to set up a worldly kingdom. And I don't believe a word of it. And that's just where I stand on it. I don't believe it, period. I don't believe they'll ever set foot back here on this earth. Anyway, here I go drifting off again. But nevertheless, church membership is an important part of our life. It really is. Once you're saved, you have an obligation to serve God. And I think the only way that you can truly serve Him is to become a part of His church. And to become a part of your church, if you haven't joined one right now, I'll tell you right now, if they don't ask you for your experience, then you don't need to be there. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you feel a need to join a church and they don't get you up front so that you can tell everybody what God has done for you, baby, I believe. If they don't ask you to tell your experience and let the people know what's happened to you, You don't need to be in that church. And I pray that higher long faith is allowed to exist. That every time somebody comes up here and asks to join the church, that we require them to give up. I had to do it. Everybody here, I'm assuming, had to give their experience. I'm assuming, I hope you did. If you belong to faith, I'm pretty sure you did. Because that's what John did. And if John did it, it's good enough for that church. And it ought to be good enough for this church. And John said, talk to me about this. What have you done? Has anything happened to you? Tell me about this. Well, they didn't have anything to tell you. Not a thing to tell you. And you know, we don't want that in our church. We don't want anybody belonging to our church that doesn't have an experience of knowing God and His Spirit. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Now he's warning these people. He's saying that there's going to be some changes coming. And just because you said that you're a descendant of Abraham doesn't mean anything. He said there's going to be an axe laid into the root of the trees. And that axe, I believe, was the Word of God. And therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Well, let's just go over to the 7th chapter of Matthew. 15th verse. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This is Jesus talking. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And we don't want evil fruit in our church. We want everyone that belongs to our church to be a part of that family, of God's family. Wherefore, that we can bring forth good fruit, good works. You know, It's lifting us up to have a service like we had a few Sundays ago, where you can feel the Spirit here. You know, I enjoy hearing Brother Barry preach, but also I enjoy when the Spirit gets here and starts working amongst God's people, and there's testifying and there's singing and it's just, the meeting is just, you know, it doesn't have a form or fashion. It's just moving. And it's moving like God wants it to move. We don't have to say we're off schedule here a little bit. We need to get back and listen to Brother Barry. But that's okay. We don't need to hear him preach if God is moving amongst the people. We don't. We have good works that can go on here at this church with God's Spirit. Now, John said, I indeed baptize you with water and through repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I don't know if I got enough time to go into this, but I want you to notice, there's more baptism spoken of in the Bible than water baptism. And just because Peter said, well, let's go to the first, let's go to Acts. I don't know if I got time. I didn't even think I was going to get in on this, but let's go to the first chapter of Acts. And the 5th verse. Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's talking to the young church. He's talking to this young, raw church. He said, "Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." In the second chapter, verses 1 through 3, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them." Jesus had just said, "You just wait just a few days, and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit's going to come on the scene." It happened in the second chapter right here. It said it came down as divided tongues of fire and set down upon each member of the church. Then Peter went over here and he preached a sermon at the same time, just right after all this happened. And said, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you." Now people are going to tell you that when he said repent and be baptized, every one of you, that means that baptized is what saved them. Because it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." People misinterpret that. Mainly because what has just happened? There's been this huge baptism of fire on these people. So there's more than water baptism that's going on in God's people's lives. There's this baptism that means you're totally immersed. And they were baptized. You can be baptized in the Word. You can be baptized in the Spirit. You can be baptized in water. Peter wasn't talking about water here. He's talking about being baptized by the Spirit unto the remission of sins.
Brother Bert, would you just read? I missed the First Peter, right?
No, well, Acts.
We're still in Acts, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Acts, the what I just read was Acts, 2nd chapter, 38th verse.
Okay, thank you, sorry.
I didn't even want to get on this, but these are workings of the church. And my question at the beginning of this was, where was God? Where is God? Is God at one of those churches that you pass coming here that's down Foster? Is he on Thompson Lane? Is it a big church there on Thompson Lane? Where is God? God is where his people are carrying on his work. That's where they are. And the tenants of this church, I just read one of them. I just read one. I didn't get into anything else. I just read one. One of the tenets is that you have to express an experience of salvation before you can join this church. I mean, that's just one little one. That's all I've talked about this whole time. One of them. If those churches up and down Foster, one on Thompson, if they don't do that, they're not God's church. They're just not. I don't know how else to explain it. And we're just talking about one little thing. Just one little thing. You've got to have an experience of salvation before you can do anything with God. Anything. And if you don't have that, you're not one of his. And I remember mine today just like it happened yesterday. I really do. I truly remember me being saved as if it happened last night. That's how fresh it is in my mind. I can tell you how I felt. I can tell you what I thought. I can tell you the words I said just before I blanked out. For a split second. I did. I don't know what happened in that split second. But let me tell you, when I come back to myself after that split second, I was a completely different person. And I wasn't saying anything. I remember all that happened. I can't tell you what I did the day before that. I don't have one idea what I did the day before that Saturday. That would have been on a Saturday. All that clues. Not one clue. That Sunday, 60 years ago, this coming Mother's Day, 60 years ago, I can tell you I was bent over, pleading on God to save my soul. And I said, "Lord, I've done what I can't do anymore. Here I am." That's what I said. "Here I am." And I don't remember anything. Or, split second. Now, one thing, last words I said was, "Here I am." You know what he did? He said, "Yep, you're right, you're there. And you're okay." That's what he did. That's part of our teachings, too. Salvation, repentance. That's part of our teaching. If the church don't teach that, they're not one of God's churches. They're not. And that's all you can say about it. There's no argument. If you don't teach what the Bible teaches, you're not one of God's churches. And we just talked about a little thing in John. Now look here. 2,000 years later, the last person that stood up here, that was Stella, right? Stella was the last one to join the church. She stood here and had to say what had happened to her. Who? Alyssa was Alyssa before Stella. And Michaela. They had sinned, right? No, they just, you know, they got saved. They were just little things. And they had to stand here and say that God has saved their soul. So what John the Baptist asked him to do, that's what Faith Missionary Baptist Church asked him to do. I think we're one of his. I really do. I feel it deep in my heart that we're one of his. Do y'all feel that? Don't you just feel that? That this place right here, that this little crowd, that we're just one of his? It's a wonderful feeling. It's just words cannot express how thankful I am to be a part of it.
That's right.
I don't have the words that can say how much I thank God for just being a part of something that we started reading about in the first part of Matthew that John the Baptist began. And he began it at the behest of God. So not only do we go back to John the Baptist, we go all the way back to God. Because he's the one that started it all. And I think we are part of it. We may be a little part. But I like where I'm at. I'm out of time. Anybody have anything to say? I know this has been scattered. I understand that. But goodness gracious, there's a lot of stuff to study about.
Brother Burton, you said that what a churches get when they send people back in that room and come back out. They get a lot of people. And I hear that a lot. It has to be right. Look how big it is.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, God has to be in it because look how it's grown. Yeah. Just an observation.
Yeah, it is. That's right. That's true. Anybody else?
I got one thing. You were talking about John's Baptist. When those Pharisees and Sadducees came to him, the first thing he asked them, "Who hath warned you to be the wrath to come? Bring forth their fruit and peace worthy of repentance." That first little step, the world ignores it.
Sure.
Who hath warned you? And that is the first step. You've got to hear the gospel. You've got to come to conviction. You've got to know where you stand to make your approach.
That's right.
It's a very little step. It's overlooked.
It is. A lot of this is overlooked. Well, a lot of stuff is overlooked.
Who have warned you to be the wrath to come? Who have you heard? Wait, you heard God? They didn't hear God.
No, they didn't.
Who? Very good sir.
And I think, you know, I think John turned him aside. I think he turned him away.
He sure did.
Anybody else?
Joel, sir. Over and I've given a lot of conversation. A lot of people get pretty deep with me sometimes. But I can always tell them my experience.
That's wrong. That's exactly wrong.
And it seems like, I hate to say it, sometimes it just shuts them up.
Yeah.
And that's, I just have to say, this is not this debate here. It won't take something.
That's wrong. You know. Paul said, and I always think, I think about this a lot. Paul said, after everything, just stand. And that's, I mean, after all the arguments, after all the battles, Jimmy, just tell them what God's done for you. After all said and done, just stand.
Right.
That's right.
Where you stand.
Exactly. Because I do not proclaim that I can go up against a Bible scholar and quote verse after verse after verse and hang in there with somebody who knows the scripture. But I tell you what I can do, Jimmy. I can say, let's hold on just a minute. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about the time that I met him. Let me tell you about the time I stood face to face with God. And God looked down and saved his soul. I can tell you about that. I may not can quote all the scriptures in the Bible, but I can tell you when. By a place and time where God saved my soul.
Brother Lambert was showing when he meets Matt and he got a discussion and he told him his experience. He said, when I told him he didn't save us, he had that faraway look in his eye. He didn't know where I was going.
Yeah, that's right.
They did.
Don, would you dismiss us?
We ask the name of Jesus, the Lord, Savior. Amen.